this morning's closing talk is going to be quite short, and it's about mindfulness in daily life, and the taking of the 5 precepts instead of the 8 precepts is the first step on this transition to the daily life. So now that you've taken the 5 precepts, you no longer need to observe the remaining 3 precepts of the 8 precepts, and in the evening you can eat as usual, and so on. Now, please be gentle with regard to the transition to your daily life, and simply avoid places that might blow your mindfulness and your concentration and the wisdom that you've acquired so strenuously during the last 10 days. So don't head for the next disco. I will say more on this topic later on. Yes. Not on the topic of the discotheque, of course. So anyway, once you end your intensive retreat, it doesn't mean that your mindfulness should end, but rather try to incorporate mindfulness into your daily life as best as you can, and in the long run, try to arrange your life in such a way that you can alternate periods of intensive practice with periods of daily practice at home. Of course, there's a difference between the intensity of daily practice at home and the intensive practice on a retreat. And we can say in general that during intensive practice, the progress tends to be quite quick and steep, whereas in daily practice, depending on the number of hours of formal sitting or formal mindfulness, the progress will be somewhat slower and definitely not that steep. However, don't underestimate your daily practice. If you keep at it in a very regular manner and you really practice every day, then substantial progress is possible over a longer period of time. And in this connection, I would like to relate the case of a Burmese couple living in England. Both of them are physicians, and both of them have their own private practice. And as such, both of them are very busy people. Because of their tight schedule and their heavy workload, they didn't have, for quite some time, didn't have the opportunity to attend retreats, at least not the man. The woman slightly did a few shorter retreats. And while practicing on a daily basis for several years, they managed to build up their meditation or their insight level to a very high level. So what really matters is the quality of a sitting. One can do some form of practice at home and be daydreaming, or one could use this time very respectfully and or in a devoted manner, and thus then gain many benefits from it. Meditators ask, I've come this far during the retreat. If I go back home, will my level of insight knowledge, will it drop off or not? And the answer to this will depend on the number of hours of formal practice that you do at home. If you sit only for 20 minutes, then most likely your wisdom, level of wisdom will drop. However, if you manage to put in 3 to 4 hours every day, then you might certainly be in a position to maintain your present level of insight knowledge. So apart from a formal sitting at home, and if there's time, then even some formal walking meditation, apart from this, you could also try to integrate mindfulness into your daily life as much as possible. And this means that you carry out some very simple activities, such as the opening or closing of a door, or doing the dishes, or waiting for the bus, and taking a shower, and so on and so forth, with mindfulness, with some degree of mindfulness. Walking in the street, you could do this mindfully. However, of course, it's not recommended to walk around as slowly as you're doing here. If you were to attempt to cross a road at this speed, then you might not survive this. While you're working, should you attempt to label every activity that you're involved, you might not be able to finish your work. So if you have to tell your boss, please wait, I'm still noting. And maybe just as a short excursion at this point, some years back in Italy during a retreat, there was a meditator from Switzerland, and a French, Franco-Swiss. And this man was pretty devoted to the mindfulness practice. And so he attended a retreat, he participated in a retreat, and he applied himself wholeheartedly to the practice, and then he returned home, and he thought to himself, well, I'll just at home, that's my home is my castle, and I'll just continue like on retreat. And he got himself into big, big trouble with his family. They just couldn't understand what he was doing, and they even got angry, if not mad, with him for walking, walking around like a snail. And so, please don't expect your parents or your relatives to understand what you are doing. You will understand what you are doing, but they might not understand, and they might think you're just being lazy, sitting in the room all the time, not doing anything. You're not contributing to the GMP of the country. So, anyway, regarding your daily practice, find yourself a quiet room in the house, and so it might be a good idea to sit early in the morning when it's still quiet outside and also in the house, and wake up, maybe get up at a time when everyone else is still asleep, and make good use of this period of the day. Then do your formal sitting, and I would recommend that after the sitting, just like here on retreat, you write down your experiences. in a report, in a book. And in this way, you will force yourself to observe carefully, what happens in the meditation practice. Otherwise, it may easily happen. You sit there, and you're still somewhat asleep, and you're not really aware of what's happening with regard to the rise and fall in other objects. If you come across some difficult experiences and you don't quite know what to do, and then number one, you could refer to advice given here on the retreat, or otherwise, just follow a very simple principle. Just wait. Wait and see for at the most 1 week, and by then the answer usually is obvious or comes up. Furthermore, outside of a retreat, try to nourish the faith in the practice that that has arisen during the retreat by doing your daily practice, by occasionally reading a Dhamma book, or by maybe participating in a Dhamma discussion, listening to a Dhamma talk, or by participating in a group sitting. So these are different ways to keep one's faith nice and warm. Also, what you could consider is if you're part of a sitting group, then to participate in a weekend retreat, just a short retreat from Friday afternoon until maybe Sunday evening. And such a weekend retreat might serve as a good booster for your mindfulness. And being part of a sitting group and occasionally participating in a shorter weekend retreat very much helps to create a sense of unity among the meditators. And I'm saying this not just from imagination, but based on experiences with a group of meditators in Vienna, Austria, and a group of meditators in Hungary, and that's what they're doing. They're meeting occasionally for the weekend. And so if one practices together like this, then you are together with a group of like-minded people, and this will serve as a moral support for yourself. As we've discussed on several occasions here during the Dhamma talks, during the retreat, sila is the foundation for the training in concentration and in wisdom. And so try to understand this, and so try to keep your five precepts as meticulously as possible, knowing that if you don't keep the precepts, in the end it's going to harm you. And with regard to the five precepts, have the courage to protect them, to observe them and to protect them, even if society teases you about this, never mind. Instead of a glass of beer or wine, you just go for something else, for some orange juice or so. And then what else? For your daily practice, you could also consider doing maybe half an hour or 1 hour, if you have the time, of loving kindness meditation. Now, So if you have 2 hours for practice a day, then you could do maybe 1 hour of metta practice in the morning, and then 1 hour of vipassana practice in the afternoon or in the evening. Well, as it fits your schedule. And the advantage of metta practice is that it really tunes the mind in a very positive way. It permeates the mind with loving kindness. And with loving kindness for oneself and especially for others. And with such a mind filled or imbued with loving kindness, it's so much easier to go through through the day. And you might find that your social relations in the course of a day are much smoother if you do your regular metta practice. And then, what else? And so, as for the benefits of your daily vipassana practice, of course it's not going to be as intensive as on retreat. However, benefits still can be derived from it. If you're at daily vipassana practice, and then it will contribute to a relative purity of the mind. So in the course of a day, of course a lot of unwholesome mental states might accumulate. A lot of mental garbage might accumulate. And the daily practice helps to take care of this to some extent. So you might find with your daily practice that when unwholesome mental states arise, such as anger or greed or jealousy or whatever, then you just apply mindfulness, and in a relatively shorter period of time, shorter than prior to meditation practice, do these mental states subside. With less mental, unwholesome mental states prevalent in the mind, you will suffer less. Furthermore, your daily practice will be building a good foundation for your next retreat. So if you keep up a daily practice, then on the next retreat you will have pretty quick progress, and because you are just much more familiar with what's happening in the body and in the mind. Furthermore, while you're sitting at home or some other place, it doesn't matter, and you're involved in some difficult situation, you're looking for a solution, and then you might find that when the mind calms down, somehow or other an intuitive solution comes up. And oftentimes these solutions or these ideas are quite good. Certainly very much contributes to the development of inner happiness and balance and harmony within oneself. With this, especially with the balance, mental balance, you'll be much, much less affected by what is known as the 8 worldly conditions of gain and loss and praise and blame and so on. So even just daily mindfulness practice is already a way of shaping one's mind. and modern scientific or neuroscientific research is showing just this, that with some amount, limited amount of mindfulness practice, one can develop more and more wholesome mental states, and less unwholesome mental states will arise in the stream of consciousness. Then, when you're back at home, you could consider sharing this practice with others, but please be very sensitive. And not everyone is ready to accept this kind of mindfulness practice. And if you find that your friends or relatives are responding negatively, well, then it's better not to talk very much and simply be a good example, or to be a good role model. After a while, your family and your friends are going to find out that you've changed, and you're not exactly the same person anymore as before, and they come to appreciate you more, and they may then start asking questions. And there are a number of cases of families where first one person gets interested in this mindfulness meditation, and then achieves good results, or gains good results from the practice, and then eventually the next family member also gets hooked to it, and then another one, and so eventually the entire family practices. Which contributes to peace and harmony at home. Mindfulness practice is useful not only on retreat and not only when one is healthy, but also, or especially when one when one has fallen sick. And so in the end, all one needs to do is just observe the prevalent symptoms of whatever illness is there, and one should try to observe these phenomena or symptoms with a balanced mind, and thus it becomes much easier to handle the illness. And Upandita, my venerable teacher from Burma, has a habit of every time he falls sick, he will retire to his room and meditate. The mindfulness, the mindfulness practice has a very supportive function. It helps to quickly overcome a certain illness. Now, another point that might also be interesting in the context of mindfulness, namely, if you're planning to have some children, then try to have those children only after you've done some intensive practice. And so with this will ensure that you'll have some nice and well-behaved children in the future. So, it's really true that if a mother goes on a retreat before giving birth to a son or a daughter, then this somehow or other has a very calming effect on, or a very positive effect on the child to be born. And the Buddha has said mindfulness is helpful everywhere, and my feeling is that there's still many more ways to, or many more applications for mindfulness. Lately, mindfulness has been discovered to be very useful for prisoners in jail and for lawyers, to help them deal with stress, and then also in some big businesses now discover that there's a big benefit for their employees, or if their employees take some mindfulness retreats.
בשביל עורכי דין להפחית את הלחץ שלהם ובהרבה מקומות אחרים כמו בתי חולים.
Okay, maybe the last point that I should have mentioned it early on is in connection with your daily practice. Even if you don't feel like practicing because you've had a busy day and you're exhausted and so on, that's the time to practice. So take this as an opportunity to look at difficult mental states and to learn something about them. If you practice only when you feel good, then you'll come across only the happy mental states. We've discussed already in one of the question and answer sessions, if you happen to be overwhelmed by anger, then rather than acting impulsively, it's much better to quickly hit the cushion and then meditate for a couple of hours, let the storm subside, and then with a calm and cool mind consider what would be appropriate to do or to say. If at times you're extremely restless, again because something is bothering you, then maybe consider doing half an hour of walking meditation, mindfully pacing up and down, and this may have already quite a calming effect on the mind. That's about it. So let me conclude by wishing that may all of you carry the effort, the faith, the effort, the mindfulness, the concentration, and especially the wisdom that you've accumulated during this 10-day retreat, when you carry on these mental states into your daily life, and may you be able to nourish them further, and then may your daily practice in turn be a supportive factor for your next longer retreat. And by alternating intensive retreats with daily practice, eventually may you experience the peace of Nibbana. And this is it for now.